This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. On Tuesday, December 27th, President Joe Biden signed a law which provides former Bethel resident Rebecca Trimble with a pathway to lawful permanent resident status in the United States. In a statement to KYUK, Rebecca Trimble says she is relieved and the news, quote, made this holiday season all the more special. Alaska's congressional delegation supported the bill and celebrated the win. In a press release, Senator Lisa Murkowski said she is pleased to end the threat of deportation that has been hanging over Trimble's family, while Senator Dan Sullivan pointed out how rare it is for Congress to pass a piece of legislation for just one person. Trimble's private bill is the first to become private law during the 117th Congress and just the third to be enacted in the past 10 years. In the last bill Congress passed for the year, the bill to fund government, was an unrelated provision aimed at saving democracy. The omnibus spending bill included 33 pages reforming the Electoral Count Act of 1887. Senator Lisa Murkowski says it spells out how future presidential elections are to be certified to avoid a replay of the 2021 attack on the Capitol.
We need to make sure that never, ever, ever again is a vice president faced with the uncertainty as to what the extent of their authority is when it comes to certification of an election.
After the 2020 election, then-President Donald Trump and his allies tried to use ambiguities in the 1887 law to block or delay certification of the election he lost. The bill Congress passed makes it clear that the vice president's role on Certification Day is ceremonial. It also specifies how states submit their electoral college votes to prevent corruption of election results. Murkowski was among a group of senators who negotiated the reforms.
This was part of a many-month collaborative effort, a good bipartisan working group. I think that there were ultimately 16 that were involved over the course of the months, and I think we got a good product.
Murkowski was an original co-sponsor of the legislation this summer. By the time it was added to the spending bill, it had 15 Republican co-sponsors. Senator Dan Sullivan voted against the large spending bill, as did a majority of Republicans in the House and Senate. He cited reasons unrelated to electoral reform, and his office did not respond to an emailed inquiry on Wednesday. Representative Mary Peltola voted for a similar reform bill in the House. It was one of the first votes she took, and it passed largely along party lines. She also voted for the spending bill that included the final legislation. What's going to change in federal fisheries management in Alaska was highlighted in a press release this week from U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski, a senior member of the Appropriations Committee. She's talking about the recently passed Consolidated Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2023. As a result of Murkowski's work, the year-end omnibus includes $15 million in congressionally directed spending for ocean and river research to be performed by Alaskans, in addition to significant programmatic support through agency budgets. Fishery disasters are included in the omnibus funding bill. Murkowski successfully requested $300 million in fisheries disaster funding, with an additional $300,000 for administration costs. Additionally, the bill includes the Fishery Resource Disasters Improvement Act, legislation co-sponsored by the senator, that will improve the National Marine Fisheries Services, or NMFS, fisheries disaster program. The bill specifies a timeline for action by NMFS, clarifies the declaration process, and expedites review and fund dispersal processes. It also specifies assistance eligibility for subsistence and recreational fishers. Through her role on the Appropriations Subcommittee that oversees the Department of Commerce, Murkowski supported oceans and climate research. Murkowski added new technologies to Alaska's scientific tool chest, like eDNA, to monitor struggling salmon runs in the Yukon and Kuskokwim watersheds. She prioritized expansion of existing technologies like citizen science temperature monitoring, electronic monitoring, and ocean-based carbon dioxide removal. The omnibus also includes her legislation with Senator Dan Sullivan, the Alaska Salmon Research Task Force Act, which directs the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to convene a task force to review current research and applied research gaps on migration patterns and declining returns of Pacific salmon in Alaska to support sustainable management. The idea behind it is to reevaluate research needs and management aims for Alaskan salmon and do its work in 1 year. The Intertribal Federal Subsistence Cooperative Management piece funds the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission's work to cooperatively manage Kuskokwim salmon fisheries with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services and the USGS, and to operate in-river salmon monitoring research projects, prioritizing community-based research approaches. Additional funding for the National Weather Service will support staffing efforts, particularly for extreme weather events, and support collaborative research between the University of Alaska Fairbanks and NOAA to improve forecasts for Arctic seasonal weather and sea ice. Scientists in Alaska bounced a radio signal off an asteroid on Tuesday. The experiment will be preparation for another close flyby in 6 years, KUAC's Robin reports.
There is a little asteroid that'll be close to Earth this week. Okay, close is relative. Right now it's about twice as far away from Earth as the Moon is. The high-frequency active auroral research program in Gakona, what Alaskans know as HARP, will transmit radio signals to the little rock named Asteroid 2010 XC15.
You know, there are lots of small asteroids that fly between us and the Moon. It happens about once a week.
Mark Haynes is the lead investigator on the project and a radar systems engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
But this is the first time we're trying to do this with very low frequencies or very long wavelengths. And the difference is these long wavelengths, you know, can penetrate the interiors of the asteroids.
That's where HARP comes in. In spite of the name High Frequency Active Auroral Research, this experiment uses low frequencies. Haynes says HARP is the lowest frequency, highest power transmitter available for JPL and NASA to use. In the experiment, HARP chirps about every 2 seconds, sending radio waves up to the asteroid to bounce back to Earth.
They're going to steer their beam at the asteroid. We've got two radio observatories. One's in California, the Owens Valley Long Wavelength Array, and one is in New Mexico, the New Mexico Long Wavelength Array. They're both going to receive the signal. So HARP transmits, and these radio observatories, they're going to track it for about 12 hours.
The experiment was scheduled to start at 2 a.m., depending on conditions in the ionosphere. This is the first time HARP's signals probe an asteroid. The experiment tests the potential use of HARP for sensing what's inside near-Earth asteroids.
The hope is if we get these systems working together, that then eventually we can probe the interiors of these asteroids as they come close.
Haynes says there's another flyby coming very quickly in 6 years. In 2029, asteroid Apophis will pass less than 20,000 miles from our planet's surface. That's closer than our geosynchronous satellites.
In 2029, Apophis will get very close. It'll be, you know, about one-tenth the distance between us and the Moon. And it's going to be a big event. And that's an opportunity that we have to try to actually probe the interior of the thing while it's flying past. These experiments with HARP and the radio observatories are kind of a rehearsal.
Haynes says it will take months to process the data from this week's asteroid bounce. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
This is KYUK News. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. Kuyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.